extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
From New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, David Goss, Tom Bogert, transfer news I was going to break, and then what happened, Dave? I was like staring intently into the camera, and apparently so was Tom.
I'm looking into the camera. Thanks for welcoming me
Tom,
in, David
don't
Goss.
Don't even look at the camera. We're right here, man.
It's a
conversation, Tom. It's a conversation. This is a podcast.
Wiebe,
I don't know if you know.
Hello to the audience. I was looking at the camera for a second, and Goss is like, you idiot.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I enjoyed the episode you hosted.
Be kind.
Hosted, Tom.
Be kind.
I am being kind. I said I enjoyed it.
I thought there was going to be
a mug.
I
was like, you were finding your...
your voice.
Yes.
Your style.
Rhythm, your style, exactly.
It's like Troy Lessing. You've been an assistant. You have been a head coach in the past. And now you're finding your way as a head coach of this team.
I don't love hosting, so you guys do it much better than me. I want to make fun of you, but it's not an easy job. So I like sitting over here. I like when you guys are passing me the ball and me not facilitating. I like just taking the shots.
I felt a little bit like a college professor, and my wife is teaching some college classes now, and they trained her on how to recognize when ChatGPT writes an assignment, and that's what it felt like listening to Tom's intro. It felt like ChatGPT bringing me into Extra Time. It's very rehearsed, certainly written out. It was all there for you.
This is where I was saying be kind. I knew it was coming around to you.
Yeah, here we are. Transfer news is here. Tom Bogert is going to be with us for a medium term, Tom. We've decided that through the transfer window, you might be a valuable asset for us. Not that you weren't before, but you're extra valuable now.
I think now is when I need to go to Producer Honors about getting a long-term contract, right? Right when I think you need me, but then I think I'd be kicked off.
If I were you, I would start talking about the Jurgen Klinsmann helicopter situation. How can we get you here faster from, what is from it, mid-central, southern, western New Jersey?
From the beach, baby. Summer season. That traffic ain't going to be great coming back.
We do not have an option to buy from the Athletic, but conversations have begun, and we'll try to figure that out. We have a big show for you today. Obviously, some guy named Lionel Messi said that he intended to sign with Inter Miami. We do not yet have an official, this is done, Leo is signed, Messi is here, but we're sort of operating within that headspace as so many are, and we have Tom here to help us understand what happens next for Inter Miami. Obviously, Messi is the first domino, and all the dominoes that fall afterwards are fascinating as well, so we'll go into the roster build, DP availability, how they could create some of that, who might be the head coach, because it seems pretty clear it's not going to be Javier Morales, no knock on Javi Mo, but it's going to be an attractive job with a lot of managers clamoring to be there, maybe Tata Martino. Top of that list, he can't quit MLS. It's his sickness. We know that.
He loves that.
I do love it. I can't quit it. I can't quit
it. Oh, God.
It's like somebody at the fridge at 12:30, like, I shouldn't, but I'm going to. I'm coming back for seconds here. New DP strikers in the league. For Real Salt Lake, Chicho Arango is back. He was introduced. And FC Cincinnati, we'll talk about who that man might be. Tom is reporting it, therefore I take it as fact. Got some deep dives for you. Congratulations to the Vancouver Whitecaps. Voyagers Cup champions, Canadian champions, and we'll deep dive that and Vanni Sartini's place within club history, as well as Sporting Kansas City, who are the hottest team in the league. We got some great mail in Minnesota. Fear not. We'll record again Wednesday. There's not that many games this weekend, so we'll deep dive Minnesota then, and an Eastern Conference team of your choice. I'm pointing at the camera right now, pointing at you, whoever is listening on the podcast. Hit us up. Let us know who we should do in the Eastern Conference, and we'll also talk Chicharito being out for the season, which is a huge bummer for Chicharito, for all of us, and certainly for Matt Doyle and his Golden Boot team. Dynamo dumped on LAFC, and we'll have more from Match Day 18. Now, if you're watching the podcast on Apple TV, on MLS Season Pass, or on YouTube, you are seeing what we're all wearing here. Those are the Pride tops. Pride Month is June, so that is ongoing. The celebration is incredible. Big thanks to the city of Richmond, as well as all the performers went to a drag show at the Museum of Fine Arts, and it was one of the best nights of my life with my wife. The vibes were absolutely immaculate, so I recommend that to you anytime in your life. But we're wearing these. What's up?
Did you cry?
I got to talk to my wife.
Remember
shares on social media is not always what needs to be shared.
I'm pretty sure
I got a little emotional.
I'm pretty sure you reposted it.
I didn't. I didn't.
Okay. Did you do the thing where you screenshot hers instead of figuring out how to add to your
story? I do sometimes do that. I did get a little emotional. There were a lot of families there, kids around. Thought about if my sons were there, how they would experience that moment, and just the positivity that was emanating from everyone.
You just
so, yes,
understand
I may have
if you weren't a father.
Shed never been a father.
Well, when you're a father and you drink a whole bottle of rosé, you get a little emotional, and that's what happened in that situation. But anyway, you know MLS. You know where we stand in solidarity with the LGBTQ community. So you can buy these at MLSstore.com. They're pretty sweet. They now come in women's and children's sizes as well. And the league is going to donate to Athlete Ally and Play Proud. And there are Pride Nights at stadiums around the league from May until August. Last reminder, then we'll do the best things we saw from Match Day 18, which was absolutely awesome. All-Star voting ends on Wednesday night, midnight Pacific time. MLSsoccer.com is the place. We'll dig into some decisions we're making on that front in just a little bit. All right. Best thing you saw in Match Day 18, David Goss, take us away.
I think it's pretty obvious. If you score a game winner in stoppage time from behind midfield, you're normally going to be on the top of that list. Lucas Zelrayan, one-touch finish over the top. And the best, well, there are a lot of great parts of this. But my favorite part is when you're watching it, he checks his shoulder to see where Spencer Ritchie is like 30 seconds before it happens. He knows the whole time that if I get it, I'm going to hit it. And it's, you know, he bounces it, which is how far out Ritchie is. And Ritchie sort of misreads the ball as well, so he doesn't even follow it correctly.
Do you think it's on Ritchie, though? Like, I think that's a normal goalkeeping position in that situation.
If you ever get beat from behind midfield,
I get it, but that never happens. You just don't expect him to do that. And it's a terrible turnover, by the way, to put Zelrayan in the position.
He's where he was supposed to be. That's where goalkeepers are supposed to be when you're in possession. There was no signs that they were about to lose the ball. And the ball turns over, and immediately the ball is going back over his head because Zelrayan, like you said, one touch immediately, and he hit it with pace. It wasn't lofted.
No,
like,
he hits it low, which is why it's able to bounce because he hits it straight.
Well, it's got, so, like, anybody, would you call it a swaz? Would you like the that's my noise I make when
is that a
balls
term?
No,
what's swaz?
I don't know. I think the TikTokers, like the younger generation of like soccer influencers, they call that the bend.
Got it. Yeah, I guess that thing. and then Nanse's reaction.
That was awesome.
Which is the best part, and like, listen, Georgi Mihailovic fantastic last year. Ismail Koney's a special player. But I think for Nanse, it was one of those moments of like, yeah, as a coach, I build a game plan and then special players do special things. And like, I have Zelrayan and Kucho on my team now. And his reaction was just like, wasn't exactly how I drew it up. I'll take 3 points on the road.
Which was probably frustrating too, because they just had a goal taken off.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good goal. And basically in the exact principles that Wilfred Nanse is trying to build. I was sitting with Sasha Kleshin and BWP, and we were in a commercial break or something like that. And I just asked them, like, have you guys ever scored a goal like this or thought about it? And Sasha was sort of like, I thought about it all the time. I looked at the goalkeeper all the time.
Sasha didn't even shoot when he was in the
exactly.
final third. I doubt he's shooting from behind.
I saw him out all the time. And I thought to myself, if I get the opportunity, he's like, and I never once tried it.
Yeah.
Not once in my career did I ever try it. They were both in complete awe of, one, just the recognition to understand, okay, here it comes. He's out. I have a chance, the moment. But then the technical execution to actually do it. And when guys like that are in awe, that takes it to another level as well. It was an incredible goal. It was not the longest in MLS history, but it was close to
What's the longest?
David Beckham, 2008.
Oh, really?
Community America Ballpark.
Wait, didn't
one of
Tim
us was
Howard
there to witness
score
it?
Against John Conway one time, though?
Premier League.
Oh, what was the...
Well,
no.
Tim
was,
Howard scored in the Premier League.
Who's the goalkeeper that bounced it in MLS?
Yes.
He couldn't score in MLS.
Danny, the Red Bulls, Sapero.
He scored.
I'm
That's
pretty
not
sure.
longer.
Well, we might have some bad information on this show. I just wanted to believe it because I was at that game in Kansas City and saw Beckham do that.
No, you could do your
that's
thing.
That's confirmation bias.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't have to. It was,
dude, it was
amazing.
Like three football fields long. He was in the parking lot when he shot that. The ball wasn't even in play.
Yeah, well, Zelrayan's was better. David had time. The goalkeeper wasn't in goal. He got his head up. He had like moments to do the whole Beckham like approach and hit, but it was still incredible. And then he got chirped on the field after the game and screamed at a fan, which was awesome to be there. Thank you, David Beckham, for everything you've given this league and continue to give this league, obviously, as we prepare to welcome Leo Messi. Tom, what's the best thing you saw on Match Day 18?
Look, we kind of joked in the pre-show meeting about that.
Nice.
All right, who's doing Zell Rayan? Like, it's clearly, instead of going around the horn saying, like, oh, what did you guys think? It was like, all right, like, somebody's going to get the Zell Rayan goal. Like,
seniority trumped you.
Everything,
Dave wanted it. Dave got it.
I was totally good with that, too. I want to put that. I deferred. I'm a good teammate. But saying that, that's clearly number one, and that needs to be mentioned again. But the Karel Swiderski assist for Charlotte against Seattle, that he kind of, like, jumped in midair, poked the ball up on the end line with his, like, toe, and somehow got right back to it and put it across for its half.
DP level production against the Seattle Sounders from Karel Swiderski. Anders hates to see it.
But yeah, that was phenomenal. And like, look, this was an insane weekend for Golazos and Bangers. Like, most other weekends, like, that might be the highlight we're talking about. That might be the game we're talking about. It was a 3-3, really fun, energetic game.
The Rui Diaz goal.
The Rui Diaz
two
goal.
Two goals.
The Insignia goal. Like, just kind of going down the line. Like, I don't want the Swiderski moment to get lost to history just because, like, obviously Zell Rayan, that's like a goal of the season candidate. But like, that was extremely fun too, in the middle of an extremely fun game.
I want to give credit to Patrick Agyeman as well for scoring the game tying goal. Super draft pick, has sort of recently got his opportunity. I know that was a special moment for him to get the game tying goal.
Crowd Legacy has put early production.
I know, Lord Cambridge as well as Agyeman.
I was making the joke last year that St. Louis, because they were signing MLS players to MLS deals for MLS Next, like, it was like they're just trying to build the greatest MLS Next Pro team of all time. But like, Crown Legacy coming in, they have essentially a DP and a Serbian international, and then all these guys coming from the second team to the first team.
Although in reality, everyone knows Crew 2 is the greatest MLS Next Pro team of all time.
We already got some teams in the history book. It's been 18 months.
Hashtag tradition.
Look for the star on the kit. I mean, come on, you can't argue with trophies. All right. Can't argue with that. I mean, Crew even went and got Max Arfstein. They were so impressed by MLS Next Pro, snatched him up from San Jose. What do you think of the Rui Diaz comeback before I get mine in here? Because just this was one of the stories of and also Roldan back scoring too.
You mean as head coach of the David Goss Golden Boot team? How do I feel having Rui Diaz back in my team?
That is the perspective that
you guys have been leading, and my stars haven't even been available. Cucho just learned how to shoot.
That's not true. He's been shooting.
He's been shooting, David.
They've been very low percentage chances.
He's been an assist guy. And now we're back on the goal scoring. Because we didn't end up doing the show. I think we talked about all these things last Wednesday.
That didn't happen.
Then we came on and we did the messy stuff. But Seattle have been creating the chances they want to create. They just haven't been finishing them, especially now with Morris out. And so I think just for them to have Rui Diaz back and be like, this was the plan. And he's going to be elite if you put him around the 18.
More important to get Christian Roldan back. Like, it's no coincidence that this was, I think, the first time they scored multiple goals in a game since he got hurt.
Really? They haven't done it since he got hurt? Definitely the last month. No, that makes sense. They barely won over the last month, but yeah.
I hope that's exactly true now that I read that somewhere, but again, regardless, like, I think that
it's like the Denny Shapiro Beckham thing. Right? Yeah, just, you know what? It sounded really, really good and insightful. Yeah, go for it. Get your charge on. Can I ask if you would be nervous if you were Brian Schmetzer and Anders, obviously Anders as well, given the Gold Cup possibilities that Jordan Morris, who returned in this game off the bench early from his adductor injury, and Christian Roldan, as well as Alex Roldan, could be out for the Gold Cup. Would that make you nervous as a Sounders coach or fan?
I would say if Rui Diaz and Eber are healthy, I feel okay. Obed's back now. That gives you more versatility with Rusnak and
Nico missed this one, I think, with injury.
Yeah. This team we thought, or I believed, was built as one of the deeper teams in Major League Soccer. And I think when you talk about those specific absences, they still have enough to cover for it if guys are healthy. They haven't been healthy, though, to start the year.
I'd still just point back to the Christian Roldan. Him being out, they were so different without him. I know that he wasn't the only person out.
Yeah, but Rui Diaz and Eber were not out there that whole span as well.
I mean, I don't know. I just think that we kind of overlook, and not like we in the royal we, not necessarily like us or the show, because I think the show is
the Crown Legacy we.
It's pro Christian Roldan, but you know, I don't think that, like, I think that the average MLS fan or the neutral MLS fan appreciates Christian Roldan and what he's meant for the Sounders, but I don't think that the correlation has been strong enough. And like, I don't know if they can withstand all these games without him. Like, last year, Joao Paulo was out and they couldn't get over the playoff hump. Like, some of these players are just borderline irreplaceable. And the way that Christian Roldan makes the game easier for everyone around him, like, it's no surprise that they pick up points and they score goals with him rather than without him.
And when they had injuries, obviously he filled in all the different spots. The only perspective I trust on Christian Roldan is obviously anonymous USMNT accounts. So we'll check in with them and revisit at a later date. I am going to go with
BJ Callahan.
sorry, Best thing you saw on match day 18. We had a whole show on just Messi. There are all these things basically that we've been sitting on from last week in MLS. I'm just happy for Dynamo fans after match day 18 to welcome LAFC to town, to have all these good moments at your home stadium, and to get one that takes it to an entirely another level. It's not just PKs, though. It still, to be fair, is PKs. Fifth at home, I think, all for Amin Bassi. I think they're all at home.
I don't know about that. I know he has 5 penalty kick goals, which is second in MLS. He's not even first.
Insane.
Yeah.
Daniel Gazdag, step on up to the spot.
Golden Boot Squad.
That was a good choice just on that one. So I'm very happy for Dynamo fans. It was an awesome win for them in insane MLS fashion. The rescheduled CCL match, they're going back to LA to play LAFC on Wednesday. So we'll talk about that more later. But the best thing I saw was Chicho Arango blinged up in Sandy, Utah. Record signing for RSL. They announced it at the match, a scoreless draw against NYCFC on Saturday night. But he's got, you know, he's wearing the like nice sunglasses that aren't really sunglasses, very slight tint. He's got the chains going. Like, he got his deal in Pachuca, spent 6 months, and he's back to MLS. And it's a wonderful signing for RSL. Matt Casey hit us up, said, "We need an extra time focus solely, all caps, on RSL signing Chicho Arango. It all sounds amazing. Thank you in advance, Weeby." And Laurie Finisher, which now I realize doesn't sound like a real name, might not be a real name, says, Messi coming to MLS is huge. Can you talk about Arango to RSL at least a little bit? I'm a huge RSL fan. It's been some dark times for the last 9 years without Alvaro Saborío, and I feel like we finally got our guy.
Love the Sabo connection.
Is this the biggest signing in RSL history?
Can I just point out,
no,
pour one out for the allocation order? He would have been subject to that if it had not been laid to rest.
And that's based off last year's record, right?
Yes, but he would have had to go through it.
Yeah, because he was sold for a certain amount.
Spot. Yeah.
But none of that matters anymore.
I just love talking.
Chris Albright's counting his allocation money from last year.
Why is it not the biggest one? What's the biggest one?
Javier Morales.
Okay, yes. After you get the, you know, but in the moment, I understand what you're saying. Because Javi Mo would be.
Alvaro
moving
Saborío
for Beckerman would be. Saborío would be. You'd probably even say Fabian Espíndola would be, but Arango hasn't had a chance to prove it yet.
Is bigger than
this is the biggest transfer fee. It's a sign of intent from an ownership group we were waiting on it from. I think it's like, it's definitely more than 10 million in transfers over the last two windows, maybe 14 or so. If they sign Brian Ojeda from Nottingham Forest, it would jump more. There's word that they want to get another midfielder as well.
Probably a different guy named Brian spelt in a fifth one.
Well, fourth. If we could just get a regular, like, BR.
True, if they got a normal,
like, you know, the IA.
Yeah.
Is that Brain or is that Brian?
IAN.
IA is Brian.
Anyway.
This is Sam Johnson.
What's up, Doyle?
What do you think? What do you think about this signing, Div?
It's a fantastic signing. We spent a little time last week sort of talking about the half pieces that they could cobble together with Krylock healthy, of like Musovski will get you some goals, he'll work hard. Ruben Rubin will get you some goals, he'll work hard. Krylock can be that guy. But Arango's elite as a finisher in Major League Soccer. I think he's flexible in that he can play with a few different players. I think he elevates Saverino and Andres Gomez because now you have a clear idea of like, get to the end line and he will be there for those pullbacks. He'll come to the side of the box, link up with you, and then he'll make that run to the far post. So I think it makes everyone better, and it's known a commodity. This is not, oh, well, we think this guy will be good. We've seen him play for Gabon and it worked out. Like, this is, he won MLS Cup. He's a great goal scorer in this league. And it puts them in a space, as you said, they've spent more over the last year. This is not Brenner numbers. This is not Messi numbers, obviously. I think it's smart and like, let's build a core and then let's see where we make that move. Like Columbus sort of has done with Cucho, of like, they built a team that they believed in. Then there's one last piece where maybe you go even bigger than what this is, but let's get some proof of concept. Let's get sort of the rubber on the road and let's start moving in the right direction. And I think Chicho Arango is going to do that for them. The game is hard for them because they don't score that much. He's going to make the game easier for a lot of players.
So he has more goals in Major League Soccer through 2021 and 2022, and obviously then left beginning of this season, than anybody but Hani Mukhtar. So production, not a question. What do you know about the background to this deal, Tom? Because 6 months in Pachuca, my assumption was that's where he was going to be. Yeah. And it just did not last for him, and he's right back to Major League Soccer.
Yeah, so this is a $6 million fee, the same fee that Pachuca paid LAFC to get him originally. So, again, this is a new club record for RSL, beating their old club record on Andres Gomez, which was either $3 or $4 million this winter. So it's good signs from ownership. But as you said, it was surprising to me that Arango went to Pachuca in the first place, because I thought RSL were one of the clubs who were trying to trade for him last year. I thought all of the clubs would have been, you know, lining up to try to sign Arango. LAFC should have signed him to a new contract. Again, I don't know exactly what the cap machinations were that they couldn't do that. I thought that they had amortized his transfer fee and then maybe would have had him as a max dam or even just go with three senior DPs. Again, I still don't understand that. So anyway, he wanted a new contract and he was there for 18 months. Again, he was one of the best scorers in the league. They win two trophies and they say, we can't do that. We're not going to do that, but we can help facilitate a transfer. Well, somebody else will pay this new contract. So LAFC weren't trying to get rid of him, but they didn't want to pay him or couldn't pay him is what they would probably say. So then he went to Pachuca and it was Pachuca. He was there for half a season. And again, RSL wanted him last year and they get him this year. Like, I'm sure that Pachuca were good with, all right, just give us our money back. It took him a little while to get into the team. And then he scored in each of his last five appearances for Pachuca. And now he's coming to RSL. So all of that is to say, I think that he wanted to be in MLS. He was super happy in Los Angeles. He just wanted a new contract. He would have been open to signing a new contract at another team if LAFC traded him. But again, they didn't trade him. They transferred him to Pachuca. It's a long-winded way of saying he's back where I think he wanted to be, and I'm really excited to see what he's going to do for Real Salt Lake.
It's an interesting sort of like decision for LAFC, because if they trade him in the league, they're getting a record transfer fee in terms of allocation money that they can push back on their team. Obviously, depending on the fee that they paid from Colombia, that
like $2.5 million.
Okay, so they probably got $1 million, the maximum amount in GAM back for selling him to Pachuca, but it's still just $1 million, and then he still comes back. You just wonder why they didn't just trade him in the first place, but either way, here we are.
Who knows? Yeah, and then
maybe keep him and win CCL.
That would also be a potential solution and to then that problem.
30 more seconds on RSL that Wiebe kind of alluded to. Yeah, they're looking to bring in a U22 initiative defensive midfielder, and that'll be their third U22 slot filled. They are trying to keep Brian Ojeda from Nottingham Forest. I'm not sure where those talks are. It seemed pretty positive for me, and again, I don't. Nottingham Forest has signed, I don't know, 75 players over the last year and a half since Ojeda came here. So, like,
Lewis O'Brien's looking across the country like, yeah, I feel you.
And while we're still, DC are working on keeping Lewis O'Brien. So, Nottingham Forest, from what I've done, and then Richie Larea in Toronto. Nottingham Forest, from what I've heard from different clubs around the league, kind of understand that they're not going to be unreasonable, these three players, whether they stay or not. All of those talks are happening. So, again, Ojeda trying to stay with Real Salt Lake. They're trying to bring in a U22 initiative number six. And, you know, with the transfer fee there, it's probably going to be significant, or at least it won't be nothing. So this is ownership. I was one of the people who was critical that they said all the right things at the press conference. Yeah, we are. Our spending is going to go up. Like, this is a great time for RSL. And, like, it has been. But the transfer fee, like, until this year, it was much.
A lot of wait and see.
Yeah. And then this year, they bring in Andres Gomez. They bring in Chicho Arango right now, which is really significant in prime player. This is not a player that they're going to sell in a few years, at least with Andres Gomez. You could say, oh, well, you know, they hope to get the investment back and then some.
Severino back too.
Yeah. Chicho Arango is a player that you buy right now, or you transfer right now. And there is no resale value. This is a win now. We want to make the team better. I don't care about how much the transfer fee is. Like, I think that's a really good sign for RSL fans.
And look at a team that went to Austin last year in the postseason and had the lead. And you've only added.
Yes.
They haven't taken away from that group. You've added Gomez. Severino's had more time to settle in. And now you add Chicho as well, plus Krylock being healthy, which I think that's the other big thing, is like, as much as you can take off Krylock's plate is huge, because you can't push him too hard. You want to manage his minutes, you want to manage his experience in the game, but he is still special. And so if you can keep him healthy going into a postseason, that's huge as well. There was a weird Severino rumor about a team in Brazil.
I was told that there has been no contact with RSL. I mean, I've heard from...
It would make no sense to leave a bigger Brazilian club to come here to go back to a smaller team.
How much would that transfer fee have to be for RSL to be like, okay, fine. Like, Severino, I think, would have to ask the club, I want to leave. And, like,
again,
to my knowledge, that hasn't happened. And again, like you said, why would you leave Mineiro to go to...
Yeah.
I don't understand. I mean, the reports, CL Merlo is saying that the interest is real, they want him, whatever. And, like, I believe him, but I'm told that
it's one-sided. Yeah.
There has not been any contact with Real Salt Lake, and Real Salt Lake are like, I don't know what to tell you.
Congratulations, Real Salt Lake, on the bonus deep dive we've just given you there.
Well, they made it. Yeah, they made a big move.
I know. They deserve it.
As they should. And they have. Now it's interesting. I'll be curious to see other teams in the league that need, like, is Danny Musovski available? Say,
depth forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of numbers in that position for them, which they could also go
Anderson
for.
Julio feels like one. I don't know if other teams necessarily are going to be, like, clamoring to get him. But
although, again, when you talk about putting guys in the right spot now, Julio's been a super sub at his best.
Yeah.
Can you now, if you don't have to start him, he's back into the role. You've lost Justin Meerum. That's probably where he sort of fills in for you. But yeah, there should be some depth there for other teams to look at besides trying to pick the carcass of Inter Miami as we go through it.
Did you guys do That's Whack last week? I was not here.
Probably not, because that seems like a thing I wouldn't do.
All right, well,
you didn't listen and you didn't take on every second of the episode.
That's Whack. Mason Toy not celebrating in terrible news for 2022 Golden Boot owner, yeah, David Goss.
I know.
Mason Toy scored twice, his first two goals of the season for Montreal, in Montreal, on a 4-0 win, I think it was, against Minnesota United. It's just a terrible performance by the Loons. He did not celebrate either of his goals. One of them, the first one, I believe, was very, very good. That's Whack, Mason. Like, I want a celebration from you. You're in front of your home fans at Stade Saputo. Minnesota United traded you, man. Like, I completely understand the respect part of it.
It's not about the club.
It.
It's about the fans.
They're not there. It's, yeah, in Montreal.
But it's about the fans.
Let me know, Minnesota fans. You saw Mason Toy go through a lot of difficult things in his career as far as injuries. He just went through that again.
Mm-hmm.
Let the man have some joy. If it's Minnesota fans that are holding Mason Toy back from expressing himself.
I don't think anyone texted Mason Toy and said, hey, man, if you score your first two goals of the season tonight, don't celebrate.
They're nice in Minnesota. They're not going to mind. You got those good little, his moves are good. Mine aren't good. I just tried to imitate him. I'm embarrassed by that. But JDB asks, David Goss, I'm assigning this to you. Mason Toy struck for his annual classy brace. Can he hit a new career high in goals? 7+. Definitely not listening.
So I was not listening. I'm sorry. My parents texted me. You got to read mom's text if you get
it. I literally was like, I'm addressing this to you, David Goss.
Say it again.
Mason Toy struck for his annual classy brace. Can he hit a new career high of 7+ goals? He's got 2.
If you're asking me, am I buying Mason Toy stock? I would tell you that I already own it.
I was going to say, can't buy any that you don't own. Yeah.
No, I'm always in on the Mason Toy experience. If he's healthy, he's dangerous.
Yes.
Montreal creates chances for center forwards. And I like the idea of him playing with an 0-4 or something like that as a 2-forward setup. So basically I'm saying Golden Boot race is on for Mason Toy.
And look, Mason, you're not listening, but if you were, I'm not coming at you. I wanted to see some expression from you in that moment. It was such an awesome moment. All right. You wanted it. You were asking for it. Some of you are complaining about it, and I'm sorry. That's just going to land on deaf ears. We are talking about Inter Miami and Leo Messi. It's not done yet. I'll just reiterate that. I hope it will be done very, very soon. Tom, you have expressed to us that that's obviously the first domino that has to fall in all of this. So, you
know, domino. Yes, Tom.
I didn't even make that connection, and I'm so sad I didn't.
Yes, Tom.
Credit to Caleb Glorioso Mays, by the way, who emailed on September 27th, 2016, and predicted Messi would come in 5 years. He said for Atlanta United, but he said it was linked to Tata, which it still may be, Tata Martino. We'll talk about that in a second. Just take me to where your head's at right now.
You're
with Messi.
You're giving credit for that?
He emailed
us back. The person was 2 years off for the wrong team.
But he couldn't see the pandemic coming, so maybe we'll give him a 2-year buffer.
I will give credit to Shep Messing, who was on MLS 360 like 2 or 3 months ago and said, this is done. I'm telling you right now it's going to happen. And I love Shep. Shep's my dude. But in the moment, I was sort of like, I don't know. You're pretty strong on that one, Shep. But he was... He was right.
Well, as we've seen from the online experience, every person who said that was wrong and then became right. No one was right for the right reasons. Everyone was wrong and then correct again.
Fair. Where are things at right now? And then we'll dive into sort of the beginning of this conversation.
If it happens.
Yeah. So, again, first and foremost, deal's not kind of laid out, not signed, all that. You know, I think that the Miami and the league have made that clear, that they're using words of intention, because that's all factually true. There's nothing signed yet, nothing to worry about, but I want to be careful to say that, as you said. So that's first and foremost. And then after that, you start to look at players. So in terms of roster rules, and we'll probably get to the Bruce Arena quote at some point, like, Miami can open it, have been holding this spot open for Lionel Messi for whatever, a year. Like, this has informed all of their decisions that this was a realistic possibility / target for Lionel Messi this summer. Not just some point in the future, but this summer. So their third DP has been filled by Gregory. That's only for cap purposes. That was only to save allocation money. There's no reason to use allocation money to buy him down if we're saving a DP spot open anyway. So we'll have Gregory as a DP spot, but it's just a placeholder. So they've essentially had a DP spot open. That'll be Messi. And then after that, if they want to sign Messi and friends, and I'll let you kind of reset wherever we want to go. But after that is where they would need to get creative in finding room for, again, whether it's a DP, whether it's a Max Ham, whatever it is. And I'll let you kind of decide where you want to go.
Well, now look, TAM is an issue for them. GAM, allocation money in general, because they have the sanctions over the course of last year and this year. And I think it was like, what, 2.2, almost 2.3 million in allocation both years.
No, I thought it was split over the 2 years.
Oh, it was split. Yeah. So they probably, they recouped
from
all
the Lewis Morgan trade initially.
Yeah, so Bryce they've recouped. Duke. So they're and at least the back Duke at, one, yeah. They had to give up assets, but they're back at sort of like even level. We are expecting more moves. I think it's just blindingly obvious that you would not just go sign Messi and then be like, all right, we're standing pat. But let's imagine that they do stand pat. David, let's start with this question, because it was very interesting to talk about this with both Sasha Klesh and then also Taylor Twell on MLS 360.
Ooh, name drop. Show drop. Yeah. Look at Andrew Weepy. Hey, wow.
Made my first debut. Well, it wasn't my debut, but my first start. Can this team make the playoffs as constructed if Messi is part of that construction? As constructed, no other moves. Where would your brain immediately go? Because Sasha and Taylor were pretty unequivocal of like, no, they would not make the playoffs, and that blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm on the complete opposite side of that. I actually, the roster changing very little to none plus Messi scares me less than, hey, here are all my friends from the last 15 years. Can we fit them all in a team, learn how to play together? And then I went to the TST. It takes a little time for some of these guys to get the legs back and get the knees working again. So I know, obviously, you bring in a Chris Winger, you know, an Adam John, that changes things.
Were you recruiting at TST for Messi?
Hey, yeah.
I was like, oh,
you, Cesc, you know Messi. Do you want to come play here? So that actually doesn't worry me. Listen, they are right now on 15 points. They are seven points out of a playoff spot. Last year, they picked up Pozuelo in the middle of the year, and they went on to be one of the best teams in the league. Messi was going to be the best player to ever play in this league. And this, I understand the connections that we're going to make with other players that have come to Major League Soccer. Insigne last year, Beckham in his day, Cuauhtemoc Blanco. None of them are close. And Messi won the World Cup like within the last 6 months because he was the best player on the field every single game on the planet. So he's still capable of this. This is not what Messi has done in his career, puts him at a level where he's could do this. This is what he's still doing. And I do think that the team was built for it. Like, they have a ton of guys who work hard in central midfield that are not creators. They have legitimate finishers up top that aren't really creators either. They went and flipped Bryce Duke in allocation for a Canadian international starting center back in Kamal Miller. Kristoff was their biggest signing of the summer. They still have Chris McPhee that they can sort of flex in and out as a more defensive option. And Drake Callender was a goalkeeper of the year finalist. I think the base of this team makes sense once you have that ball dominant piece in Messi. Right now, they can't create chances. And so the game becomes really difficult. Anytime they give up early goals, they're out of it and they're behind. They have to throw numbers into the attack to try and create chances. You know how you fix that? The greatest attacking player in the history of the game. So I don't worry about that. I start to worry when it's like, well, Messi, he actually end of July and Busquets isn't feeling great and Luis Suarez is on vacation, but he'll be back and Iniesta's in Japan still, but he's going to make the next flight. That's actually what I worry about a little bit more.
I was curious and just sort of a little puzzled because I heard people saying, hey, and Taylor among them, and I know what he's saying. Wait till 2024. If you're informed, you know that for Inter Miami, that they won't be at their best until then.
A Gauss Theorem team.
Yes, I guess that's true. But I guess I was puzzled because like there's going to be pressure from minute one. Like there's not going to be sort of a grace period for a Inter Miami team led by Lionel Messi. There's not going to be like, hey, don't worry, nine teams make the playoffs in Major League Soccer, but you didn't. It's all good. Like I don't think that exists. So I think there'll be pressure on Messi and the club from the jump to improve those results. Now, he's not going to be there for a while. I don't care how they play until he gets there. I don't think any structure or any idea about, oh, here's how we're going to play and then we'll just fit Messi in. There's no like,
we'll just
you cosplay Messi real quick. Yeah. Like, no, that doesn't work like that. Javi Mo has to do whatever he can to get as many points as he can. On the road, that might mean just straight parking buses and just saying, Leo Campana, we're going to bang it up to you. Joseph Martinez, same thing. Like, they got to get points. They didn't get him in New England this week. It's 3-1 loss, but like, you do whatever you can to try to get as close to the line as you can. Yeah. So when Messi comes, he can make the difference.
And you know, it's MLS in the summer, you're Miami, like a lot of teams are looking at your home games and being like, yeah, maybe we'll rest some guy. Like, there is space if you work hard. The name Javi Moe, actually, I think is a little bit more worrying. And it's not a knock on him. It's just he's not going to be the manager. And I don't know when you get a manager. And that part's a little scary. We were talking about TFC before the show, me and Tom, of last year. You know, it was, well, Insigne and Bernadeschi come, but you had Bob in place. Now, I think Inter Miami's roster is more coherent now than TFC was before Insigne and Bernadeschi arrived last year. So I have more confidence, as I said, in the spine of this group. But who's going to be the coach? And when is that coach going to put any ideas in place? And when does that get established? And that, I think, is going to be a moving target because Messi is the presence he is. I don't even know if it's not Tata Martino. I don't even know the names on the list. Like, who is going to command respect in that moment? And it's hard to think there's one that's not Tata that has any knowledge of MLS.
Correct.
So, like, what space are you operating? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bruce Arena was one of
those
guys.
Good place to be in a negotiating.
Yeah. Bruce Arena was one of those guys. And obviously his Revs team knocked off Inter Miami this weekend, 3-1 at Gillette. And Bruce had a lot to say about Messi to MLS and Inter Miami. Let's get a little taste.
These things aren't easy. And then I came in LA, I think in July or August of 2008. And we just hung in there for the remainder of the year. I coached probably 7-10 games, whatever. And then we brought in 19 new players the following year and made it to the MLS Cup final. And then we got obviously a little bit better and all of that. But it's challenging. It's not going to be easy for Miami. But Miami has a better roster now than I had in L.A. coming in 2008. So they're going to be fine. And Messi's going to win games. If Messi was on the field tonight, you know, it would have been a real challenge for us.
That's a great line. If Messi had played tonight, it would have been harder.
Yeah, but as it stands, like, we kind of
smoked that.
We smacked him up. But yeah, those are the, look, it's a road game for Miami. I think every home game.
Sorry, can I just, I got to come back around. Like, look at what Lucho Acosta and Hany Mukhtar and Carlos Gil mean to their teams. That's what Messi's going
to
be.
Or what, like, a Pipa Higuain meant to the crew midseason. Or what Pozuelo meant midseason in Toronto.
We're talking
or in
about
Miami.
Messi.
He needs to live up to the level that has been proven by Lucho Acosta and Hany Mukhtar.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that we're being dangerous by even suggesting. There's no proof of concept for him in MLS, right?
As Anders is saying in my ears right now, Nico Ladero is the best MLS DP of all time. We know what he did as a midseason.
I don't think that you guys left or gave any inclination that I was being sarcastic. So I want to make sure that people listening don't think I was being serious and being like, well, actually, you can't talk about Messi without talking about Lucho Acosta. This is, you know.
We forget the outsized space that a DP holds because of the way the rosters are built. And whenever you talk to people in front offices, sometimes agents, but they're less useful in these conversations. But like, what makes a good DP? They have to hit. There is not one position. And there is not one role. The only thing is, if you don't get the signing right and they are not useful, you are so far behind a team you are facing off against that has hit. Because Bruce goes on in that conversation to talk about there are teams that spend 25 to 30 million on their rosters. He's talking about TFC. But they're only spending 17 million of that on two guys. Or three, if you want to throw all the DPs together. And the rest of the roster is one third of that. And so if you miss on that amount of money and you go out on the field and the other team doesn't. So for Inter Miami, they don't have a third DP. Now Gregory's hurt. So they don't even have two DPs potentially available to them. Campagna is obviously a young DP, so he's sort of on the line. But the point is they are playing at such a disadvantage every game they play at because of the way their roster is built, not even talking about the punishment stuff, about the issues with Matuidi and all of that. When they get even or, you know, better because Messi's going to be the best player on the field, I think it's fair to assume they can cobble together enough results. The other thing is momentum. Sorry, last thing. Like in MLS,
you got some momentum.
Yeah, we see
teams. Hold on, let him cook.
Yeah. We see teams as you gain momentum. And one of the issues in MLS is a lot of games packed together, weather, all that stuff. If you have that sort of goal in mind of Messi's arrived, we start to put up points. Now we've won three in a row. The playoff line is 4 points away. And you're pushing towards that versus another team I'm just going to, I don't know, pick a name out of the hat. Say Charlotte or Chicago, where you're trying to avoid falling apart. It is a different
experience. The bottom three in the East right now above the line, Orlando or a DC or a Montreal or right, Charlotte or a Red Bulls. And you got messy. Oh, and by the way, you also probably got a break to figure things out during Leagues Cup, or you went on a run in Leagues Cup with Messi that has you flying. I mean, Cruz Azul, every player on that team right now is like juiced. They're like, please, 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 let us play Messi in Leagues Cup. In a transfer window?
And an Open Cup, which actually may change things as well. Because if you have a semi and a final around games where you need points for playoffs, where are you using Messi and how are you going about it? That might throw a wrench in it.
TQL. I don't think there's going to be any tickets. Well, there are no tickets available for Lionel Messi, period. But that Open Cup semi, you got to speculate on that one. No doubt about it. All right, let's talk about what they could do. Because, you know, we can talk about 2024. And again, I agree with Taylor that that's when you would expect them to be like, hey, here we go. This is the true Inter-Miami with Messi. We have a blank slate from our sanctions. All the allocation money is here. We've sort of figured out in this summer and then the winter how to build around him best. Sure, 2024. But 2023 still matters. And they can't open DP spots. You mentioned Grigori. They'll buy him down. That's Messi. The two others, Rodolfo Pizarro in the last year of his deal. Leo Campana, who just signed a new deal after transferring from Wolverhampton. He's a young DP, but we knew when he signed that deal, he was also eligible to be bought down, but it's difficult for them because of allocation money issues. What do you think happens with those two spots?
So, yeah, if they want to open DP spots for Messi and friends, and I'll preface this entire conversation by saying it's my understanding that, you know, everything's fluid, all of these things are changing, but if you made me guess or predict what would happen, I would say Busquets joins, and then they kind of kick it down to...
As a DP?
I don't think so, but and myself and Paul Tenorio kind of wrote this, and I think Paul had this line that was really good. Our understanding is we don't believe so, but again, nothing's signed, whatever. We don't know for sure. And by the way, it might be a little bit difficult for all of the other teams and owners to accept, oh, Busquets is on $1.65 million when he made $28 million at Barcelona over the last few years. Like,
Gareth Bale,
I understand,
tied MLS Cup on a TAM deal.
But this is why I'm not sitting here saying this definitively and saying 100% this is absolutely going to happen.
I'm just trying.
I think that people, and Ernst Tanner asked questions about the Bale. Yeah. Like, so whether it's right or wrong, people I think are going to question regardless. So long-winded way of saying, like, if you made me guess, I would say Busquets. The way that they can open up room for DPs for Messi and friends, they have a one-time buyout. They can use that. It's just this budget thing. They still would have to pay the player that they remove. But you don't have to worry about them hitting the salary cap. So one way you do that is if you wanted to open a DP spot, you just buy out a DP. And
can we just say which DP you would buy?
Rodolfo Pizarro.
Let's all close our eyes and say it on the count of three.
Rodolfo Pizarro is out of contract at the end of the season. So again, this all makes a lot of sense. Like you said, Leo Campana can be bought down, but that would require allocation money that they're not using yet on that. And then also, he's a young DP. He hits the cap at $200,000. A senior DP comes in at $650,000 or whatever the exact number is. So not only do you have to come up with the allocation money to buy down Leo Campana, you then have to come up with a cap space of $400,000 more, that the difference between a young DP and a senior DP. So these are all things that are possible and it can happen. But these are the thought process. This is what they're doing in the front office right now. This is what, you know, their salary, whoever in the front office is designated as a salary cap guru, is running through these scenarios. It's Chris Henderson, the sporting director, running through these scenarios, who we can sign. And then it's Messi saying, hey, this is the friend I want. Go make it happen. Like, these are kind of the discussions that would happen if they want to get creative and move the roster. So that's to say, like, we're not going to see Jordi Alba and Luis Suarez and Angel Di Maria and Leo Paredes and Sergio Ramos.
Like, Ronaldinho.
All these things aren't happening. But they can do two more DPs. And theoretically, if it were to be Angel Di Maria and Luis Suarez, they would almost have to be DPs, right? Like, I don't think that we could stretch imagination for them to be TAM guys, particularly Di Maria, who's still kind of at the end of his prime, maybe a little bit post-prime, but he could go. I was speaking to people on Angel Di Maria, asking pretty much for a year, any chance he's coming to MLS? Like, the money's not going to be close to either the Middle East or wherever. This is a year ago. This winter. All right, the reports are that Di Maria is out of contract again this summer. No, still nothing that's serious. But, you know, he would be open to it, whatever, but nothing's... 4 weeks ago. No, still nothing's happening. When Messi news, yeah, it's possible. These rumors, you know, the interest is there. It is completely preliminary. I don't know if it's going to advance at all, but that's at least something within the realm of possibility. As for Suarez, he came out and said, he's like, I have a contract till 24 and I'm happy. He would like to, he has quotes also that he wants to play with Messi before they retire. But Grêmio don't want to let him go. I can tell you that with a fact. So I don't know how you would bridge that gap. And there has been no contact between Miami and Grêmio. I want to, again, put that out there. So there's going to be a lot of nonsense out there, is what I'm saying. And people who are in group chats with me understand how quickly, the quickest way to get me mad is to put up a fake rumor or just something that's ridiculous. Like, come on, like, guys, like, what are we wasting our time?
Speaking of that, Leo Campano, it wasn't a rumor. It was more just us postulating, like, how would you open DP spots? And one way would not just be to buy down Leo Campano because they have issues with the allocation money side. We presume those numbers aren't public, so we don't have, like, the spreadsheet in front of us. But the flip side would be like, okay, well, Lewis Morgan and obviously Bryce Duke, you created allocation money for yourself. You could do the same with Leo Campano. He's got a new deal. He's MLS proven. He's a young player. Somebody around the league, he's a domestic player, I believe. Somebody around the league would say, yeah, we'll take them. Nashville would. I mean, NYCFC, I was saying, that'd be a great spot for him to land as well.
That'd be a great spot for him, yeah.
But at the very highest levels of the club, I was doing some reporting out of 360, and they're saying, no, he's not a guy we want to
move. Andy Scoops.
He's part of the project.
Bona fides.
Just after you were out here, like,
Can we clip this for when they trade Leo Campagna?
Now, that was what I was also going to say, is that in this process, as Tom said, everything's on the table if there comes a time where it needs to be put on the table. So your intentions now are pure. Like, they're pure, but intentions
and with Campagna, just the logic is he's a young DP. He also is American, so you don't have to waste an international spot on him, which normally designated players are, which they'd have to go find another.
Just in case anybody is kind of a little bit confused, he's Ecuador international, but he has a green card because I believe he's born in the United States. Whatever,
I think he has a passport.
Yeah, well, he was born here, he's a citizen.
The point is that while people are saying, wait, he's American?
He is American.
He's an Ecuador international is what people who are thinking, wait a minute, Leo Campana, I've seen him with the Ecuador national team. I'm just trying to over-explain and help.
God. Maybe multiple things.
Dual nationality.
I'll throw the mic at you.
Dual nationality. I'm a,
who would you bring in? The Messi and Friends thing is, I don't know.
The Messi and Friends thing, it's ridiculous. It's fun. It's crazy. It's one of those things where, like I said, it's probably more dangerous than of a guarantee because it's like, okay, now let's build a team here. Who's covering ground behind Busquets and Messi? Like, how many games can Suarez play right now? What is Angel Di Maria? How often is he healthy? But at the same time, it's the chance to put Di Maria and Suarez Busquets and Messi on the soccer field.
At the same time, you look at the roster and you're like, okay, Angel Di Maria or Stefanelli or
Di Maria,
Robinson,
I think, is an obvious one, which
or
is
Jake LaCava.
Yeah.
Jake
LaCava just got loaned back to Tampa where he's going to rip it up again.
Is Emerson Rodriguez on loan still?
I don't know. He's their loan U22.
He's their U22, yeah.
Which is the one reason they could trade or do something with Campagna is because they actually don't need we need to activate that spot. But
if you kept him, then you could get three U22s, exactly. And those could be like
affordable
big-time
players.
Prospects from Argentina. Who, would they like to play with Lionel Messi?
Yeah. There's obviously no blueprint to doing this. Bruce, sort of in speaking about his, it's like, yeah, that was a century ago. MLS 2.0s, 3.0s, 4.0s ago, taking over for Ruud Gullit. And Abel Xavier was your second highest paid player.
Oh, God. Good
record. Or whatever it was. So it was just a different world and a different time. But part of MLS is like, you got to find talent in other spots. For Bruce, it was the draft. It was Omar Gonzalez. It was AJ De La Garza. For Inter Miami, it has to be the academy.
Yep.
Like, we're talking about Miami. We're talking about Florida. And you said, I don't care how you get results. Doesn't matter. But you need to blood some of these guys. Ian Frey needs to keep playing. David Ruiz needs to keep playing. Noah Allen. Like, if you can use no salary cap money or international spots on a starting left back in Noah Allen, that's a dream scenario for this team with where they stand. Same with Drake Callender, which is why it would be shocking if Nick Marksman was on this roster after this window opens. It's an international player on what, 700,000?
Like 580. So that's an easy way to open, but you have to find a taker. MLS GMs, front offices around the league know that Miami are going to be trying to get out of salary because of Messi and Friends and because of everything that's coming. Like, they're going to try to take advantage or try to, all right, you'll pay half of his salary and then you still get half his salary off the book, but we get this player for.
But you'd at least get the international roster.
Yeah. So, but things like, it's Chris Henderson, I already did this in a way that I was shocked at. Over the last summer and winter last year, that they were able to get out of so many contracts that I thought were borderline immovable or that you were going to have to attach assets to them, like in NBA when you trade bad contracts. He got out of, like, I think it was like 18 players, and a lot of them were pretty bad deals. So Lewis Morgan was the one that had the most value, so he got allocation money back like that, but he still got out of a lot of long-term contracts. So maybe it's not as hard, but
he got $1.3 million and Kamal Miller for Bryce Duke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that, I know there was a moment where we kind of like the pendulum swung back and we're like, oh, well, maybe that wasn't so bad for Montreal. I'm like, no, what? It's still crazy. It's still crazy.
I mean, they got money for Figal. They were had LGP or LP.
LGP, you got it.
LGP on the roster. He's done a lot of work. And that's the other part of this is, like, as you build this team, you're going to need some MLS experience in there. Chris Henderson has good an eye for talent and team building as anyone in MLS history, arguably. So you kind of trust him in what are the pieces going to bring in. I do believe the one part of the Kamal Miller thing is he's a free agent.
He's out of contract.
After next year.
I thought it was this year.
After next year. After next year.
There's an option.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's even crazier. I thought that's where the discrepancy came from. I thought that's where it was like he's going to be even a free, so he has no value.
We're all looking it up feverishly. Sheesh. No, you're right. Option 2024. Let's go, Tom.
Let's go, Chris Henderson. Clap, what are we talking about here? Let's go, Chris Henderson.
No, let's go, Tom. I like that also, Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Because I was going to say that's another one where you could probably sell him. Your team gets worse, but again, we're talking about everything on the table. If you're trying to open spots up, and Campagna, they don't need to call. Everyone's going to call them. Everyone in this league's calling. You mentioned trying to get this cap together. I believe it's Megan Cameron who's in that role at Inter Miami under Chris Henderson. Everyone's calling her. Everyone's calling Chris Henderson, and they're like, "What's Leo Campagna doing this summer?" And it just, if you have no choice, that's where you get in a spot where, if you create the chances you think with Di Maria and Messi, Joseph will put some away.
It is a shame.
Gonzalo come out of retirement.
I know. I do. Why'd you go for the Asada 1 year early? You should have stuck around, dude. But he would have been a DP. So
I was in the room when he retired last year in New York City, which was like, you know, there's a lot of media from around the world. There was some wild energy in that room. I cannot even picture what a Messi press conference is going to look like in Major League Soccer if he signs.
It is a shame that Gregory and Mota got injured.
Yeah.
For Inter Miami, but I think also just for our general enjoyment of Major League Soccer as people who like to watch it, Benjamin Kromaski is a boss, going to be a really good player. You know we love David Ruiz on this podcast. Ian Frey as well, but there's just a different level. Like, if those guys are there, I don't think anybody's saying this team can't make the playoffs, right? I think everybody's like, oh, yeah, no, they'll get it done.
If it was one of Gregory or Mota, right, like not even both of them.
And you'd rather have Gregory.
Yeah, but like still the two of them, that would be really key for what you need behind Messi in terms of piano players and piano carriers. And you have the best piano player of all time. You need, if you have a midfield of piano carriers, I think you're going to be fine.
And let's also talk about that with Phil Neville, because
I feel bad for him.
They lost a DP. They didn't fill another one. I talked about roster building. This was not a team that's built to win now. And Phil Neville got let go because they don't win now, which is tough.
And also, this is complete speculation.
Yeah, but I mean, Messi clearly did not come to the table and say, I'll only play for Phil Neville. Right. He would not be let go.
Hey, congratulations to Phil Neville, by the way, for landing with Canada as an assistant to John Herdman. That's a pretty dope job.
That's for the Nations League and the Gold Cup. So he's... It's not like a long-term X amount of your deal. So it's a short-term thing. And like you said, I think that's right.
Whoa, rain clouds from Tom.
I'm saying that in a good way so that he's open to he's a rain cloud.
Tata Martino is reported as the front runner for this managerial job, which I think makes perfect sense, as you said.
Can you throw a couple other names at the board for me? Man. I can't even think of one.
Did you read on The Athletic? I had MLS head coaching options.
No.
It's difficult to speculate for this particular.
Oh, run it through.
No,
run it through.
Like, no, the obvious names, it's like Tata, I think for any team, should be the first call. But like for this team in particular. Like,
So he has a year at Barca with Messi. It was maybe Messi's worst year at Barca. They only won, I think, like the Spanish Super Cup. But Messi was injured for most of the year in preparing for the World Cup. And Tata didn't survive that. That's what happens at Barcelona. Then he immediately went to Argentina. They made two finals. They didn't win them. You know, that sort of was building up the consternation that led to this World Cup and everything that was released therein, but they have the relationship. They're both from Rosario. Messi grew up a Newell's fan. Tata is a Newell's legend. Like, there are just a lot of uncanny, unreplicable connections between these two. And then, as you said, Dave, you add in the fact that the man's won an MLS Cup. Yeah. That he's built a team on, like, from scratch in Atlanta to be this attractive, amazing product that we saw take the league by storm.
Tito Villalba's just rubbing his hands and like, bring me back.
I mean, he's the obvious one.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I think, look, any MLS job is very attractive at this point. Like Dallas, when they, after they let go of Lucci Gonzalez, Andre Zanota said at his press conference, like in the 24 hours since this news became official, we've gotten 80 to 100 candidates, whether they've reached out directly or through intermediaries, whatever. Like that's for any job in MLS. Pre-Messi, Miami would have been one of the most attractive jobs in MLS just because Miami and everything else that comes with it. Now with Messi, like there's going to be so many options on the table. Again, I still think that Tata Martino makes the most sense, but it's, I think, given us cushion that there could be options out there that we have no idea or that we wouldn't even consider as realistic or likely. So
you ready to for me to throw the record back on? Marcelo Gallardo doesn't have a job.
I was thinking that was the one guy who has MLS experience, who obviously has the...
We've connected him 700,000 times to Miami, yeah, and it never worked out.
Going to be interesting. Jorge Mas, the Mas brothers, they're going to have to wade through a lot of resumes, phone calls. Whose phone you think is busier, theirs or yours, Tom?
theirs.
How many texts?
I think more people have
Tom
my number.
Tom keeps calling them everyone else.
Well, that's one for one, but yeah, then you have the other ones. Tom, how's your phone been? Is it lately, over the last week or so? Overheating?
Yes. Yeah, there's been a lot. The days of messages or WhatsApp or Twitter notifications or Twitter messages, and then it's just kind of like a constant...
What's your busiest avenue? Where's the most traffic come in for you?
Text. Easy question.
I'm just curious about the logistics.
No,
here.
I know.
No, text
you
and WhatsApp, but I group that into the same thing.
All right. We have 25 more minutes in the show, and we are not dedicating a single one of them to Inter Miami or Leo Messi unless for some whatever reason we
something
come
happens
back around full circle here. It's deep dive time. If you don't understand what that means, we've been doing one touch takes for a while and trying to hit every game, and I sort of feel like we're past the point in the season where we need and have to do that. You might groan because, yeah, there are 29 teams in the league and you want to hear your team talked about in depth, but we're going to try to do it a little bit differently. We're going to try to cover the big stories, the big topics, the big things that are happening, whether it's, you know, Chicho Arango or, yes, Lionel Messi, or a goal from Lucas Del Arrayan, et cetera. We will hit that stuff, but we're not going to touch every game every weekend. So it's going to be on you. I put out a tweet every single show. I'm asking for topics. I'm asking for mail. If you give me good mail, I will talk about your team. If you convince us to talk about a team that you don't think is getting enough publicity or hasn't been broken down in enough detail, we will do it. Just convince us.
Weeby moves to New Jersey, and now he's getting aggressive. I love this so much. A year ago, he would have been like, guys, I'm so sorry. We just don't have enough time in the show to talk about all teams. Look, just let me know. Good questions. We'll get them on the air. And he's like, no, it's your fault, and you need to come to me. And now I'm
oh, now that you're bringing that energy to me, now I feel a little bit...
Tear in my eye. And New Jersey
Dave's,
Weeby,
Dave's pure New York. He's like ignoring New Jersey.
I do
he's just
not
like,
care.
Do you even exist?
Yeah.
We're starting with Vancouver Whitecaps.
Drive through New Jersey,
which I know you care about. So let's get the
I do care
back
about the Whitecaps.
For you. Voyagers Cup champions.
So that's the first trophy that's been awarded to an MLS team because obviously LAFC lost in CCL final. Do we know which of us had drafted them for the trophy draft?
Anders is looking, so we'll get that information in a second. But Jason LFG.
Either way, I guess congratulations to Vancouver.
To somebody.
That was your
very extra time of us to be like, hey, good job, but which of us gets the credit in a draft we made up in the preseason? Jason LFG says, with his second Canadian championship in a row, is Vanni Sartini the best coach in the Whitecaps MLS era? Vanni Sartini very notably has a... Wait, no, where's it at? I don't know. Somewhere on his body. A Voyagers Cup tattoo. Has the like 2022 under it, and he was smart enough to know there could be more coming. He
so
says
he
he's
left
gonna
space.
Yeah, 2023 can go right under it.
It is exciting, and this I think now we talked about going into it like what would it mean to Montreal? What would it mean to Vancouver? I think you're talking about like a heritage and a history of we host Canadian championships. We've now broken the record twice on crowds. This is an experience and a moment our fans can expect and build towards, and we delivered. And this is a club that has no history of delivering in those big moments. And they've had fun atmospheres. They've had fun teams. They've had, you know, the Pedro Morales teams. And then, of course, more recently, a little bit high tempo. But I think this team, you can trust that they'll show up, that you get what you're expecting to get in big games. And now to have done it against both Toronto and Montreal in the final is massive.
So I just want to say it no longer matters that Vancouver won this in our draft. Doyle had Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right. I had Montreal. I didn't realize what I was losing in that moment, but now I am very sad.
Yeah, no
but also very happy for Vancouver, because I think the project this year and the play, though it started a little slow, has been admirable. I think what Vanni Sartini is building is fun to watch. I enjoy them. So let's dig into that a little bit. What do you like about the Whitecaps right now, Tom? And what do you think the story is around this roster and this club?
Yeah, so they were pretty shrewd with some of these additions. Like, you look at Brian White, that could have technically been had by anybody else in the league. Like, that was a really good signing. Julian Gressel was a great trade. Again, Doyle makes this point on Extra Time a lot, but how perfect would he be for Christian Benteke and that system? You could just kind of go down. Tristan Blackman was another really good signing. Like, I appreciate how that they've built this roster. I'll be honest, 3 months ago, I was pretty far out on the Whitecaps just because they were so much fun at the end of 2021 when Vanni Sartini was interim. And then start of 22, they were like overcomplicating things. And they were bringing, they inverted their midfield trio when it worked so well the other way. And it seemed like they were kept on doing a lot of things that didn't make sense or it was overcomplicated for no reason. And I was feeling that a little bit at the beginning of the season again. It was just like, okay, you're taking Gressel and you're making him an eight. I know he's good at an eight, but he's still, you know, the best wingback in the league or one of the best wingbacks in the league, all of this. I was in March just kind of ready. Okay, it's not going to change. And honestly, if Simon Betcher didn't score a stoppage time equalizer, I forget which game it was.
In Minnesota, I think?
Yeah. I was getting text of, I think Vanny's done. It was, I don't know if that was the decision that was coming, but his seat was red, scorching hot. He would have been my choice for if anybody to watch in terms of managerial changes. And to see where they came, you know, a few weeks later, they were playing this beautiful soccer. It was like the end of 2021. They're fun. They're free-flowing. I love Gressel as an eight. Like, this is, I was completely wrong. Like, he's still able to get wide and create chances with his crosses, but he's free to kind of move around. Kubas is one of the best DMs in the league. Like, they do so many things well and so many things fun. This is the best version of them. This was the version at the end of 2021 and what we thought we were going to get for the last, you know, 16 months of 2022 in here. So it's wonderful to see them playing like this. It's wonderful to see the crowds that came to the Canadian Championship. Like, the MLS crowds have lagged a little bit. Hopefully this will kind of juice the team back up that we nationally, I think we kind of got off their scent because of a bad start to the season. Like, this is one of the most fun teams in the league. And this is a good team. Like, I don't know if they're in the top tier towards the West. Like, I don't know if they can get there or not.
I think,
but they're a really solid, fun playoff caliber team.
I think that's the conversation that's tough with them is like, what's the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
I think Sergio Cordova, to me, and I said it when they made the signing, I think that caps your ceiling. I don't think he's
of that
highest level. And I obviously he's been hurt a large stretch of this. He's still
He did draw the PK that got him a draw at home against Cincy.
He is another piece, sort of like in that RSL combo, to this attacking group, but he's not.
Is he better than Brian White? Is what you have to ask yourself.
And or what you're getting from Simon Betcher or Pedro Vite. Like, is he better than any of them? I don't think so. He's different. I don't think he's his biggest talent is his combination of his size and his, you know, athleticism and his speed. I don't think he's consistent enough beating guys 1v1 to make that part work, but I don't think he's a good enough finisher to make that part work. And so it's kind of like, yeah, you'll get stuff from him. But Veselinovic has been one of the best signings in MLS over the last 5 years. He's just consistently been a good young center back.
Can I throw Alessandro Schaff in that as well?
Yes.
Of a guy who gets almost no pub, but is like the Austrian Darlington Nagby.
And then look at
just does not lose the ball ever.
And look at those. So Kubas came from a relegated team in France. Schaff came from a relegated team in Germany. Gold came from a relegated team in Portugal. Like, these are really smart signings for a team that works on a budget. Like, Sergio Cordova is their DP forward because they're not spending $10 million on a transfer. Cincinnati, we're going to talk about them. Aaron Bupenza for $7 million. They're not doing that. So they tried it with Lucas Cavallini, which seemed something that, like, in hindsight, it's easy to say, oh, it didn't work out. But, like, that seemed like a pretty slam dunk.
And it probably would work out now the problem.
Like, so, but that was the only time that they've spent, I think, more than a few million dollars on a transfer. So, like, that's why, like, they've been really smart to put together this team as they have.
And they're young, so they were able to build a spine, like Veselinovic and guys like that, Blackman, to then identify spots and say, okay, what went wrong last year? Goalkeeper. So now you can go out and get Takayoko, where if you can target your signings because it fits into the flow of the team, it makes you more dangerous, or the potential to get them right is so much higher. And Takayoko has been, like, almost the entire jump from last year to this year is just elite goalkeeper, going from the worst goalkeeper in MLS, and that's not totally on Hassall. I don't think he was ready. He was too young. The Maxime Crépeau situation happened sort of to them, and that's partially their fault. So you had to fill in and they didn't do it well. But now you make such a big jump at that one position, and his style, I think, fits them perfectly. They defend deep. He's comfortable on the ball with bodies around him. He also is an elite shot stopper when you give away the ball in deep spots and create those chances. I think Kubas is, you could not talk about this guy enough, because yeah. he's the reason that Gressel can even play in 100%. Midfield. Because as 100%. Athletic as Gressel is and as special as he is not a center mid. And there are gaps in that central midfield, and teams could play through them, but Kubas doesn't allow them to. It unlocks Gold. And when you talk about what makes them fun, is like when that ball goes over the top at BC Place, everyone stands up and it's electric, and Gold's on a run. And now every decision's being made at high speed, and they understand the runs they want to make, where to find guys. That's where Brian White's at his best. That's when they are exciting to watch. And I think they have totally leaned in at BC Place of the speed of the turf and the way the game plays. And they've created a style that works for them. And they have flexibility in that style when they need to. Gressel can be a wingback. Javane Brown's a center back or a fullback. Like, they have a few different options of the way they can switch in.
You can push Laborda in, who they signed. And we thought he has to be a starter. And he hasn't really been. He's been more of a rotating piece. Give credit to Vinny Sartini and his staff as well, and the players. Ali Ahmed is a guy that we didn't necessarily look at and think, hey, could be a difference maker, and has been, and oftentimes. And Pedro Vite's development has been impressive. He's not like game changer 24/7, but he's still just 21.
That's the under 22 thing, where I think when they brought in, it was Vite and then Caicedo. It was like, oh, this is how they can find game changers. And now the reality, I think, that most people have come around to is like, on an under 22 signing, they're not going to lead your team from day one, but they have Gold. So it allowed Vite to find his feet, as you said. And I think the potential of who Vite could be if they keep him for a couple of years could be really high.
So, and this was going back to my point on Sartini, like the midfield, like Vite wasn't playing enough, or Gold was playing as like an eight. Like there was Tiber, the midfield too often was way too cautious. And that was my frustration with this group, is like they had the potential to be this, and it felt like there was some obvious changes. Or like last year, Gressel was playing left wing back sometimes because they didn't like the winger that was going against somebody else. So it's like, we're overthinking this. What are we doing? Just put your best players in the best positions and they'll play better. And again, like, to his credit, that's what he did when he first got the job, and that's when they've been fun. And right now, like, full credit to Vinny Sartini for again, all the criticisms I've had.
Hilarious quotes after the Voyagers Cup win. It's Vinny Sartini, so he's on the mic, and it's just absolute brilliance. He was basically like, it'd be a crime against soccer, against everything that is holy. I think I had the holy part, because I don't think he believes in that. If we don't make the playoffs, that's pretty clear that that's going to happen. They're in sixth place right now and only getting better. The underlying numbers love them. Their big limitation right now is they're just awful on the road. Yeah. They haven't won a single road game in seven, but the home form is very good. Got to figure out the road side of things, but this seems like a team that's going to keep climbing the table, or at least stay where they're at, and that is a dangerous team.
They are 3 points above 12th place, so let's just be careful with that.
And they have played three more home games.
Let's just be careful with the hunt, like writing all of this in stone, because they're a three-game
winning streak. Get out the chisel, Tom. We're writing it in stone.
I thought it was bold from Weeby as well. I'm glad you picked up on that.
I'm like intoxicated by Vinny Sartini quotes, and I might still be intoxicated, as the Whitecaps said they might be after that Voyagers Cup win facing Cincinnati. It was a draw, 1-1. Lucho Acosta with an incredible goal. We haven't talked about that. Somehow that wasn't in among the best things we saw. Pat Noonan rested him, ball over the top, left foot, just perfect. Takioka had no chance, but then of course Ryan Gold with the penalty to tie things up. Quickly on Cincinnati, because there's a big signing here. We gave a lot of time to Arango. Aaron Bupenza, senior DP, big time DP, 26-year-old Gabon international, has been in Saudi Arabia for about a year and a half, was in Qatar before that, but won the Golden Boot in Turkey, I think in, what was it, 2021? Something like that. He's 26, teammate of Denis Bawanga on the international level, 22 goals in Turkey, still scoring goals in the Middle East, and it's a big-time signing for Cincy.
Yeah, so Cincy, they had planned to sign a young DP, like, again, just to replace Brenner, so they could have three U22 initiative slots. And then as I was talking to folks at the club about this, is that, look, like, we're top of the Supporters Shield standings. Like, when you have the chance to get a guy like this...
Love it.
When you have a chance to get... Like, they are...
Win again, things.
They're signing this player. They're extremely excited about. They're spending $7 million. But the way that they were talking about him in my conversations and reporting this news out, they are thrilled about it. And they're looking at it like, look, Brenner was awesome last year. This year has been, we've talked about it on the show, it's been not great between those both sides. He scored one goal. He's like, it's like we're adding a $7 million center forward to a group that's leading.
Doesn't have it, yeah.
Like,
you know, they think of him as a center forward, yes, as more, yes, of a second forward, so, winger. Because if you look at, and again, I watched all his goals in Turkey. I just looked at transfer market. I'm not sitting here telling you I know everything about Aaron Bupenza, but it seems like.
Don't you host that Saudi Arabian Soccer League podcast once a week?
I
very lucrative.
Yeah.
I don't.
That's, so he's.
But it seems like he was more of a second forward winger most of the time.
They play with two forwards.
They like,
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's
like
perfect.
His versatility. They like his versatility and the options that'll bring, but the plan is to stick with the 5-2-1-2 or the 3-5-2, whatever you want to call it, and have him just be the strike partner with Brandon Vasquez. They think that he can play really well off Vasquez, or if there's a scenario in which they're 4-3-3, 4-1-2, whatever the machinations of, because they wanted with this signing to be able to do more or change formations if they needed to. Somebody
seems
who
like he could
well.
Push Barrial to left wing, for exactly. instance, and then he can play. He's very yes. left-footed.
Yes.
Bupenza, like extremely left-footed. Seems very dribbly, like good 1v1. Again, I'm watching highlight videos with the beat drops and the goal scores, and you get jacked up. Yeah, you get jacked up about it. But he's scoring free kicks, he's scoring from distance, he's scoring poacher's goals, had some with his head. It feels like a really good signing. A lot of people hitting us up, by the way, in our mail saying, where is Brandon Vasquez? He's in a funk. His lack of production. Should he be benched? Is he even good?
No, he shouldn't be benched.
This seems like the sort of move that can get him back to his best, which was when Brenner was at his best, when there were two of them playing off each other, when they were creating for each other. He hasn't had that this year at the same level. All due respect to Dombaji, but could be a huge signing. And right now, it's a massive gap in the supporter shield. It's an 8-point gap for Cincinnati.
Yeah, we made the joke off the top about Chicharongo and LAFC and like the decision to sort of keep him or not going into CCL final. And we've talked about Corey Burke and Philadelphia Union. And it's like, not everything always has to be future sale, like win things. And I love Cincinnati. Instead of saying like, oh, we got to get a young player that we can flip later. And then that opens up under 22 spots to get more young players that we can flip later. You were the worst club in MLS for 3 years. You are now on a record-setting pace. Do what you can to maintain that pace. Do not think about 2024 and 2025, 2026. And I love this move for them. I love maximizing Lucho when he's playing like this and getting him some help.
Got to sign him to a new contract too, probably.
Yep.
I think that one's coming up. But I completely agree with you. And the beautiful thing about Bupenza, if it indeed, it seems like it's going to get done. I trust this man. Tom Boger, he's saying that stuff. Is that he's 26. So 24 and 25, he still should be in prime years. So you could go, and let's say Vasquez has this breakout season, is incredible. Okay, you got to sell him. He wants to go. Fine. You could go get a young DP and then stock up on U22s on the back end, and you would have a player of experience and quality. No, you don't think so?
Well, Vasquez isn't a DP, so they'd still have three senior DPs, Mwoboto, Acosta,
even better.
But so right now, Marco Angulo is their only U22 initiative player. Barrial signed a new contract in next year. He would have been able to still be U22 for the rest of this year, but they're able to move him off of that because now they can't use more than one.
Gotcha.
That's a little roster.
And Barrial also might be a guy that gets sold.
There's definitely a lot of in, but again, they just signed him to a contract that kicks in next year. So again, if a big bid comes in, then but like definitely not this year. Same thing with Vasquez, like we've said on the show.
But in recruitment, now all of a sudden when you go replace them, look where we sent Brenner. Look where we sent Vasquez potentially or Barrial. Look at our stadium. Look at our facilities. Look at our record. Like, you want to come play for a team at the top of the table? Incredibly, it's FC Cincinnati. Congratulations.
It is amazing. Just think about the reality of this club. And I think when we're down on clubs, where you're like, I can't see it getting better, you have to look back at this and say how quickly Chris Albert and Pat Noonan were able to just flip the culture and the reality for this team.
I mean, down in the dumps.
Yeah.
Like they were
first pick for the wooden spoon for the draft.
Yeah, they were the guarantee. We were picking them.
Picking them to win.
Doyle has them as well. He was maybe draft them for the spoon, but also for this year in the
trophy. Everyone knows Golden Boot draft is the number one.
You had LAFC,
draft.
Tom, which is tough. Which is tough for you.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, could still come good.
Who has RSL? Because they would host Open Cup final if they make it.
Good question. I know I have Miami, which I have RSL in Miami. Let's go.
I want to talk about the Golden Boot draft. This team.
Okay, we were going to do Sporting Kansas City deep dive today, but we have a hard out in the studio. I'm so sorry to all my friends in the Midwest. We will do you on Wednesday. We have plenty of time. It's a short, truncated
weekend.
Let's
get carried away.
I think Sporting Kansas City fans, they're okay
Minnesota
right now because their team is
they'll survive. Sporting KC, Minnesota, and then an unnamed Eastern Conference team will be our deep dive Wednesday. Eastern Conference folks, get my mentions. Anders. No. Nobody decided anything.
I was like, we don't just talk back to Anders because no one will know what you're talking about.
I get caught doing
that. Congratulations, by the way, to Alan Polito, who just had a wonderful game against Austin and a big win at home. He seems to be absolutely firing. And there are questions now about whether they can retain him, resign him, or whether they should based on the injuries. We'll dig into that on Thursday's show that we'll record on Wednesday. Chicharito tears ACL. Man, it's so sad. And it's kind of fitting of where the league is right now that in a normal day, a normal show, that would have led our show. We would have spent so much time on it. But there's just so much else going on. This Dave, is it's heartbreaking for Chicharito. It's certainly heartbreaking for the Galaxy and the position that they're in. They went to St. Louis and got a pretty good draw this weekend. But this could be his final. This could be it for him in MLS. TBD. I thought it was touching the players with the they had the banner for him in the warm-ups for the warm-up shot of, hey, get well. We'll see you soon, brother. But this is probably the injury they could not afford to have, the Galaxy, if they were going to drag themselves out of the basement.
Yeah, it also simplifies things of like Jovalich is a starter now. You kind of are stuck with the way you have to play, which has been an issue for Greg Vanney, is like trying to find the right combinations and maybe moving things around. There's no positive of losing a player like Chicharito, but that's the one thing you get out of it. It unfortunately is probably his Galaxy legacy, which I think he's done a lot of good. I think he's done a lot of good off the field of just like being active, being available, talking. We bring him up all the time because he's always giving you quotes because he's been forward facing. Not every DP does that. So I think he deserves credit for like what he has pushed to help the LA Galaxy stay relevant off the field at a time when they were not relevant on the field. I don't think his legacy on the field will go down the way he'd like to. But when we talk about LA Galaxy DPs, and you talk about like the Dos Santos brothers, I think Chicharito will be looked at fondly by fans. And I think by all of us in like what he was for the LA Galaxy in a really tough stretch. And as he has said, you know, last year they put together a decent team. They won a playoff game. They went to LAFC. They had a chance. So there are some ups and some positives in the time.
You can't blame him for the construction of the roster or the coaching changes that occurred.
Yeah, I think there's an element of,
he is
not as good a player as maybe his profile is that allows you to have a worse team and for him to carry them. Like he tried.
Did anybody expect him to carry though?
No, he's been a good DP.
But Lucho Acosta and Hany Mukhtar carry their teams, right? Chicharito's not that
player. But it's a different kind of player.
100%.
He's been a good DP.
And that's not his fault. But that's who he is.
But,
and I think.
But like Polito, there is a legacy of injury and inavailability as well, I would say.
Well, Alan Polito got pulled into
this. Yeah, well, we were just talking about him.
Yeah. But no, 100% he's going to go down as a good DP. I think he has won them fans probably at a time when felt like a lot of people in that area were going to LAFC because I think he has such a huge following and he continued to be sort of a positive presence once he arrived. And it just, he sort of says, yeah, I like living in LA. I like playing. And the contract changes, but he's able to stick around if he chooses to do that. If not, the assumption is he'll retire. It seems hard to believe he'd go back and play in Liga MX at this point, but maybe he wants to play for Chivas
I
one more time.
I not see him going.
So then he probably is retiring.
He doesn't look like somebody who's ready to retire. I mean, injury, we'll find out, but like he didn't seem like somebody who's ready to retire.
What can they do in the summer, Tom? Give us just a quick understanding. Because like, it doesn't seem like much. if we're talking about all the teams in MLS looking at Miami saying, oh, we know what you have to do. Well, they definitely know what the Galaxy have to do.
Yeah, they can only sign players whose ITCs are in the United States. So that limits you to intra-league trades or free agents who had played here last
year. And
or
Canada?
USL.
Like
I
registered to MLS?
I don't believe,
oh,
yeah,
really?
I think it has to be the United States. So.
Wow.
Yeah, they're in a bad spot. This would be
Simon Betcher off the board.
If this was the NBA or MLB, they'd be sellers. They'd be selling. But you know, that's not the reality of soccer or MLS. But we'll see. I think that this hurts. This hurts a whole lot for any sort of hope that you had for 2023.
Well, some planning to do for the Galaxy. Will Kuntz as well. We will talk about Chiberco to Columbus. It didn't quite jump up into the record deal, but Crew fans, I know you really care about that. I have a
real
ton of great mail for Wednesday, so we will dig into all of that then, and I presume have just a little less messy to talk about. Maybe. I'm over-promising I'll under-deliver, surely, for Thursday's show. Let's hit the Golden Boot update, and we will get out of here. This is reverse standings, because Anders
really
tricked
me. Are we picking our all-star number 9?
We're going to do it at the end.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
We're going to do it at the end. Doyle, not here, can't defend himself. Obviously, losing Chicharito is tough for him.
Not
39
hard to
goals.
Defend his team.
17 assists. He made a good choice on Jeremy Abobase, and apart from that,
Jabo looks so good this weekend.
That was a wonderful goal. Klaus was good, got injured.
Jabo's got to be on a Gold Cup roster, right?
I would love to see it. It just doesn't feel like he's ever gotten a shot. Unfortunately, I hate to see that I'm in third on 43 goals. Drewsy's back, though he's missing sitters. He did score, but he missed a sitter or even two. That's tough for me. Ura, Yakomakis, feel good about that one. Copetti hurt. Lorenzo Insigne, let's go. But then, you know, it's completely scattered after that. Looking for Leo Campana to really jump up with Messi. David Goss, 46 goals, three ahead of me. Daniel Gosdag, six PKs in his seven goals, but they all count. Jordan Morris was a good choice as well, as is Julian Carranza, and Raul Diaz is starting to roll. Diaz and number and one, the Fighting Tom / Kalins with a C, 53 goals, seven goal lead at the top, 31 assists as well. Dave, you've been betting on assists and you're down to assists.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
That's so nice.
You're down two as well.
Yeah, I'm sitting exactly where I want.
There's been a lot of trash talked, and it's like, if my player comes back, oh, this player, Kucho doesn't even know how to shoot this year. And yeah, we're all taking time. You know what? You know, it's easy to be just in first this entire time.
Who would be your first pick for All-Star voting, by the way, again? Midnight Pacific time. It closes. MLSoccer.com. Get your ballot in. Who would be your number nine? I think that's one of the harder decisions.
Christian Benteke.
Interesting.
Benteke's the obvious. He's got to be there for DC. But
he's got to be there. I think he would be there regardless, as would my pick. I would take Jesus Ferreira based on the fact that they're utterly reliant on him. And in fourth place, he's got six game winners. So I like Jesus. Yakumakis.
Yeah.
Would seemingly have to be there. Loved his answer on MLS 360, a show I was on.
Oh, wow.
They asked about a golden boot, and he was like, do you want to win it this year? You think about that. Every year I must win. That's not his voice. That's more like a Bond villain. But
Nemanja Nikolic over there.
Anything else we got? Welcome for the short / medium term. Hopefully negotiations with the Athletic will go well.
Our Nelson Quinone is over here. He's going to start scoring goals and our loan will have ended.
Just any contact, he's going down. That's
wow, you calling that a dive?
No, but there was contact. I said it wasn't a ton of contact by Hollingshead.
Ryan Hollingshead knows it's a penalty.
It was a penalty. I agreed with that on instant replay.
Nelson Quinone is out here.
Another show
people.
I was on.
Yeah, thanks for you run instant replay?
No, I'm saved for you. You're like,
I'm on everything. Don't worry about it. Enjoy midweek. LAFC hosting the Houston Dynamo. We've got a big show coming up on Thursday, and I'm sure I'll disappoint you with whatever I choose to put in it. Adios.